Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, King Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Mad Men After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Mad Men After Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Bing is for doing, and we are doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Mad Men Season 5, Episode 9. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined on the panel by the lovely Catherine Tulich of the Los Angeles Times.
Thank
hello,
you.
Please. And, of course, filmmaker and co-creator of AfterBuzz, Kevin Undergaro.
Hello, everyone. Marissa, where's the Mad Men music?
It's coming. Also joining us on the panel is Phil Svitek, producer.
That's why we have no Mad Men music. I'm privileged enough that we're in Studio A tonight, and so I'm out on the floor, everything apparently... I feel like... Who would I feel like on the show? I feel like everything's falling apart.
You'd be Pete, right?
Yeah, then you'd be Pete, yeah, because he always thinks everybody... And joining us from the booth, of course, is Marissa Movies. Thank you, Marissa.
Hello.
And I know she's going to be looking for that music anytime. But until then, we're going to talk the show. So today, in this episode, we see Crane go Krishna. Let's see, Joan gets served, and Pete searches for Jag. And then we're going to start off with Lane digging himself a bigger hole with the financials of this company. This guy is crazy. He's nuts. He just does he really think this is he's going to find his way out of it, or is he just blinded by this?
Well, I think he's obviously in a desperate situation.
Oh, clearly. And it just gets worse and worse. And he just keeps robbing Peter to pay Paul.
So why do you say he's blind, though?
Because there's no strategy for finding his way out of this. He just does the immediate thing. Oh, I just need this. Okay, I'll just give it. Doesn't even include the fee that he needs. Remember, he only gets the $8,000 that he needs to pay off the tax man from Britain. And doesn't even, the fee. Doesn't even include, that's why I'm saying he's so short-sighted in his plan for this.
Do you see the irony in the fact that he's the financial... planner for the company.
I mean, how is the company going to get out of anything that they're in when this is the guy running the purse strings?
In their meeting with the partners, where's Joan? Oh, she's not here.
Exactly.
Yes, because he knew because she's the brain.
The financial genius.
Exactly. Joan is the one that, there you go. Thank you very much. Yeah. So, Joan clearly is the one responsible for really running this joint. And he just looks tragically pathetic.
And I guess also in that position, though, he has the ability to diddle the funds, which other people have done in those kind of positions when they're in companies.
Yeah, and so desperate that he's willing to go out that far, even when it's not even in hand, and then the rug gets pulled out from under him at the end anyway.
Unlike most people, I will give him credit because he was trying to do it the right way, where he gave everyone bonuses.
Yeah,
and he's
actually was smart.
But because you had to go borrow money to give bonuses. That's not smart. That's the last thing is.
In his desperate situation, he was being smart in the beginning, I think. The whole thing about faking the bonuses.
To covering it up.
At least he was trying to do
it. So if everybody gets a bonus, they won't look at me because I'm not the only one getting the bonus.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, he could have just taken $8,000.
I mean, so much this is going to come back to haunt him.
Yeah.
And by the way, just all the characters in this are headed toward
disaster.
Doom. I mean, we see the reds in the background. We've seen them everywhere, and they seem brighter than ever.
Yeah. In some ways, I felt like this is one of the darkest episodes I've seen.
Well, it was pretty dark.
Speak to the fact you had a chance at the Mad Men premiere, Catherine, to speak with his character.
Yeah, well, we were
him.
You spoke with Lane Price.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had some great.
Richard Harris's son.
You had some great inside information.
Yeah. Well, he just said that, you know, in the very first episode, there's that picture that kind of.
That he found the wallet in the cab, and then he tried to find out who it belonged to. And when while looking through the wallet, he found the picture of a woman. And
he kind of established a
relationship.
He said to me, he said, that is going to come full circle. He said, you wait. He said, it's amazing how everything intertwines with each other in this series. And he said, even that will become significant.
Right.
So he made a point of that. So I'm It'll kind be of interesting curious to see know how, where that
comes means to see how, right? Yeah. I mean, it's a stranger, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, she was a stranger. I mean,
but he was quite obsessed with her. I don't know.
He kept the picture. He gave the wallet back, but kept the picture.
He knows her voice. He knows her voice, but he's never met her.
Yeah. Never.
Maybe he was just leading me astray, but this is why I believed him.
Yeah. And
or is it just say about the juxtaposition of his personality? That he gave the wallet back, but he kept the picture.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So is that what he's referring to? But it sounds like there's more to it.
He wanted there to be more, that's for sure.
And the conversation I had, it sounded like there was going to be more. So we'll wait and see.
So, and it'll be interesting to see how he screws that up.
He did such a good, but he did, listen, this is why it's a little bit of a surprise to see him mismanage the funds. Because earlier on, he has been good about being tight. And he was very successful for his other English companies, which is why they always rewarded him.
Yeah.
He did all the dirty work for them. He was always the one to kind of strip the companies down, make them better for sale. He was, from what we saw, he was very good at his job in the past.
Yeah, but and that's why I'm wondering, why are they going down this road? Because I haven't seen...
What I can speak to is that emotionally, he was never on firm ground. Remember his chocolate bunny?
Sure.
Remember his fight with his father? Mm-hmm. He wanted to break away from whatever this lifestyle was.
Right.
And so emotionally speaking, he was never solid. Now it seems like it's poisoning.
So you think because it was never solid, the emotional thing, it's
poisoning now. So whatever went on with why he owes Her Majesty, why he owes England $8,000.
Expat.
Well, I think it's also, the fact that he's, in England, I guess there was some sort of sense of control. There's a lot more sort of social status. There's a lot more sense of kind of being in control there. And I think he's come to America and there's been this kind of freedom that he's felt. But I don't think he's obviously going down the right track with it. That's the other thing. I think he's kind of getting out of control.
Yeah, and he really doesn't want to go back. I mean, speaking of that, because he wants to have Manhattan, Christmas in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Right. And is it just because he doesn't want to go back, do you think?
Well, I don't think he
can't afford to go back financially.
Right, sure. Yeah.
But I don't think he has a great love of his home country. But, I think, remember even that there was an episode, where he was with his Englishman and he didn't really want to acknowledge that Englishness. I mean, he kind of was sucked in the end by the fact of he is from England.
But
he's rebelling against the whole English thing.
Because in a way, that they were way more rigid than our society. And in the 50s, in the 60s, that's when it started seeing the freedom.
One of the most painful scenes that I saw, other than Joan being raped, was when his father beat him up without his glasses on and just brutal. It was just brutal, and it was just a sign of old English way of life.
Oh man!
And he wanted nothing to do with it.
Public schools.
Yeah. And so for him to have a Playboy model, but a black one, that he was ready to just throw it all away for and say, "Hey, this is my new girlfriend, my new life, and I'm so excited to be with her." And I see him, not wanting to go back to England.
Yeah.
Not just financial reasons,
exactly.
But emotionally.
Yeah. And I think that part of it has to do with the freedom and the social mores are much more loose in this particular era. This country as well. And then the other thing I thought was really interesting when the first time that we've seen Pete and Lane in a scene since the fight.
Right.
Was in, when they had their partners meeting. And it was almost like no vestiges of it. You didn't even feel like it ever happened. I thought that was interesting. They didn't speak to it. They did not speak to it. It was just like it was almost forgotten.
Right back to business.
That was very strange.
Well they seem to move. I mean, it's always been kind of weird to me how they kind of move months ahead of time. You know what I mean? Pretty much a couple of weeks ago, we were at Thanksgiving. Now we're at Christmas.
Now Christmas,
I know, but I mean, just in terms of, you thought there'd be some vestiges of it, but... Not that it needed to be. I just thought it was interesting that they chose not to do anything.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody else said that? Okay.
No. And I think Don also said, hey, guys, let's not have it.
Yeah, because he did tell Pete. Remember when it started? Because I thought that he was just telling – Pete wanted him to tell him when he's being an idiot.
It's just – to me, I buy it because Pete's so focused on work. I mean, he's the only one that's like, okay, while you guys were all lollygagging, I got Jaguar. Like he's – it seems like he's so driven – That's true. It's to be to fight with Lane doesn't move the needle. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get his achieve his goals, which is to, you know, become the powerhouse, I think, right, at the office. It would be super successful.
And he was annoyed that he didn't get the acknowledgement for the Jag.
Yeah, nobody responded the way he wanted to. He never does.
He never gets gratitude.
Not to jump ahead, but eventually Don finally steps into the role that we wanted him to play.
That was amazing, yeah.
You know, while Pete didn't get that recognition throughout the whole episode, and obviously that was the tension between Pete and Don, eventually Don stepped into that role and kind of had a mini version of it. But it wasn't, you know, it almost felt like we were going there where the lights were getting dimmer. You know, we were just going to see Don, and it was going to be the kind of like almost like the carousel pitch from season one all over again. Mm-hmm. It was half of that.
Yeah.
You know, so Don's not fully there, but the idea is there. Now we're working here. We're going to be here at Christmas. We're going to be here on New Year's. We're going to spend it all together.
And got called out from Pete earlier in the episode because he said you might have to be here past 5:30.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think we see how Don, like it was the end of the episode, but the way he can rally the troops like no one else in that company.
We don't want to jump ahead because there's a lot involved with getting there. But anyway.
But speaking of the past, you can get all your Amazon, you can get all your Mad Men DVDs on Amazon.
Can you?
You can. And you can get a lot of other things there, too. But the cool thing is, you know, regardless of whatever you're shopping, go to AfterBuzzTV.com first. There you will find right on the homepage, in fact, any page, a cool little Amazon banner. Go ahead and click that, then shop away. Costs you nothing extra. We get a percentage. It's very cool. It keeps us going. We're kind of like there. Someone in this room feels like Lane. I'm not going to say who, but they do. Why? Because, you know, funds are depleting.
Funds are depleting.
So this will keep us ready. So we don't ask for much, but we do ask that you do that. If you have friends, whenever you're shopping, your friends are shopping, tell them to come to AfterBuzzTV.com first. Then click on that Amazon banner, and that'll take you right to Amazon. You can buy whatever you were going to anyway, but we'll get a little something here to keep the lights on. So
we might get a Christmas bonus if we're lucky enough.
Yeah, not $8,000 or anything like that, but we might get something. Just enough to keep us going.
Be nice.
So we can keep bringing you this content for free. So thank you for that. So let's talk about Pete and the Jaguar thing. He was really pushing this, and he's been pushing it like crazy because Don said it great. I think, you know, everybody in the business makes their bones once they have the car as their advertising thing. And even Pete, when he was calling him out earlier in the day, he was talking about how, you know, if this was December – last December, and I'd come to you with that we had a thing with Jag, you'd kiss me on the mouth. So two things are happening. Pete's really saying, look, I'm the only one doing anything around here, and calling him out for not doing anything.
Yeah.
So I think the Jag's a big...
That, and like Megan, Megan called him out too. He just doesn't care about work. Yeah, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's not that... So.
You used to like work. Used to like your work. Well, it's different.
Until you met me.
Yeah,
me,
and as you know, you liked your work before me. So so clearly things are different there. But, you know, it's nice to see Pete at least, you know, got one. There's only one oar in the water at the moment, and it's Pete's.
Right.
It's the only one rowing for the team.
Right. And the fact, it's interesting, it's a Jaguar English car.
Yeah.
They're like, it has too much power for England, which, you know, probably symbolic of what's going on with Lane. And we know, and I'm glad that Cooper said it, but, you know, it is known as a lemon.
It is.
It has tons of electrical problems. In fact, really? they did all the way into the mid-90s.
Exactly. I mean,
terrible cars.
Yeah.
A horrible British engineer.
E-type Jag.
I hope I'm not offending you, Gavin.
Oh, no, no. I'm not a car person, so I'm actually intrigued. Yeah. The only thing I know is the E-type Jag, but just because of the great advertising campaign.
They have great styling. They look wonderful. Lots of people love them. They're lemons. They just...
Really?
Yeah. And so, you know, more than likely, are they a metaphor for... for this ad agency?
That's my point, is that in my head, it's all style, no substance.
Right.
Because the infrastructure is depleting, is going elsewhere, is not really being involved. And I think that's why it's a great choice for this particular ad company, because they've got nothing underneath.
No.
They got nothing under the hood. Nobody, I mean, like only one person doing anything. Yeah. It's like, let's just say their wiring screwed up too.
And the salesman was like, we've worked all that out.
Yeah, exactly, which they didn't for decades.
No.
Okay. No.
Well, that means they did have a good advertising campaign, because not being a car person, I always assumed Jaguar was a great car. Mm-hmm. Never driven one, but...
No, terrible car. What a lot of people end up doing with them is they'll put in the Chevy 350 engine.
Yeah,
it fits perfectly into most of the Jaguars, and they'll do that, and then it runs fine.
Can't kill a Chevy. My friend owned a Jag and had to buy a Toyota Camry or something for how many times that thing was in the shop. So yes,
terrible car.
Terrible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now so, you know it's different. They're great cars now, but back then, no.
No. So yes, I do think it's a metaphor, and yes, I think that really shows. You know, even though they're gonna get. I'm expecting that they'll probably get this. I don't know. But even if they do, it's not going to be the panacea that they think it's going to be. It's not going to solve all their problems by any means.
So. Well, it's a prestige thing they're looking for,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, but still, I mean,
yeah.
I guess they are. Prestige thing. So, but does anybody else feel that you know, the whole, well, since we can move on, I guess. I mean, is there anything else we want to talk about the thing?
I think we should talk about going to iTunes to rate and comment on us.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a good thing. You know, we just talked about, we just rated Jaguar being a great car.
Right.
So we hope you don't do that with us.
No, and you know what? You guys have been great. You've been going there and rating and commenting on our show.
Yeah.
And actually giving us a lot of constructive notes, telling us we talk over each other. So we've been trying to curb that. But if you guys can go to iTunes, go to iTunes and go to podcast and type in AfterBuzz TV Mad Men.
How about we make it easier? Go to AfterBuzzTV.com, find the Mad Men thing, and that'll take you through.
Will it take you right there?
It will take you right there.
Okay.
We'll make it easy.
Do it that way.
That's nice. And then rate and comment us. I didn't even know that, Phil.
Yeah,
so. Right, very good. Rate and comment us. I know someone last week was upset that we didn't call to the drawing of the whale, and we didn't make the reference to Moby Dick. I had thought of Moby Dick, and
I did too, but I still don't really. I didn't really buy the reference anyway, because who's Ishmael and what's the who's obsessed? And there were so many things that didn't really work in terms of the metaphor. So
I guess these guys are all in a sense obsessed with getting what they can't get, John.
Yeah, but
what they can't achieve.
And they're not obsessed like the cat.
I mean, because there are a couple of moments even tonight with which we'll talk about the conversation between Joan and him about what they're all searching for and things like that.
Yeah, I know, but I just didn't think the metaphor didn't hold up for me.
And I didn't understand why was the whale smiling? I don't feel like the whale
smiling,
and I don't feel like the whale in Moby Dick was happy to be stabbed at. It's just...
But, so, you know, who knows? Maybe, I mean, I would love to hear more about that. As somebody who thought that it represented Moby Dick, what was the thought on, you know, whose white whale is it that they're talking about? Anyway, so, but we appreciate those comments because we want to know more.
Please,
so,
and if you have friends...
Do we talk about the, what do you call them, trolls?
Trolls?
Do we want to talk about the trolls?
No, don't. No, right. Never empower trolls. We do have trolls. Everyone has them. You know, it's rival podcasts and things like that. But, you know, for most of our fans out there, you know, we're really pleased with the rating. And like I said, we just love more the positive or even the constructive criticism, because we'll keep working on it. But the other thing you can do is tell a friend or family member about AfterBuzz. That would help us immensely. So rate and comment. Buy Amazon through our website, and by all means, tell friends to buy there as well, but tell friends about AfterBuzz.
I'm going
to
tell you a cool thing. You know who Kevin's going to tell?
What's that?
I'm going to tell Dr. Drew, who is a huge fan of Mad Men.
Oh, that's nice.
So he's going to
You have a direct connection. You know the gentleman, don't you?
Yeah, I know him. I know him and his wife.
Hopefully we'll get him in the studio then.
So we're going to do our part, too, to tell friends.
Nice.
Right.
I'd like to get his take on what Lane's behavior is doing at the moment. Yeah.
So I love the jet. I thought the E-Jag looked great. Didn't you think they look good?
What, the red one?
Yeah, they look great, man.
And of course, that color red.
There
that's
it
what we've
is
been
again.
Seeing.
They keep throwing it in.
I have a friend who owns that.
And then,
that
model.
It's
the same. It's, you know, the other, what they have, the red car in the drawing. Was it two episodes
ago? The red, Riviera or Tornado.
Tornado, exactly.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, I don't know how many different shades of red they were doing, but it looked very, very similar.
Very similar.
They're keeping that red real close week to week to week. It's saying that.
And it's interesting, John, great pickup, because the Red Tornado, you know, the American cars were good cars until about the mid-70s, then they were shit until about the mid-90s. But back then, that was a solid muscle car.
Exactly.
And future built, but solid. But now it's interesting, the juxtaposition of dealing with a Jaguar that is just looks great, but is a piece of crap. Yeah. So, that's a good pickup on your part.
So, but looked great. And then I thought, you know, it was a little clever ploy between, well, first of all, it was great that Dawn got to see Joan go nuts. I thought it was great that I thought the reception scene was fabulous.
Can I just say, I'm so glad, because that receptionist is driving me nuts.
I know.
She is
But she's also, you know what she also is, though? Yeah. She's also the receptionist of tomorrow.
Yes.
Of the future. She's the young generation. Yeah. How much back talk?
Yeah.
You can't talk to me like that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I think is interesting.
It's the beginning. It's the crack in the foundation of you know, the transition that we keep talking about, mm-hmm. the '60s is bringing us up in the mid to late '60s,
right.
brings us up to today yeah. of like, no, that's, you can't.
And also I thought it was another just cute little metaphor. She was cute. You know, she's presentable, but really nothing else, nothing behind that. Just like the cars, looks great, but nothing really, really have it where it needs it.
What I also found today, like in Don's speech at the end, he's saying, you know, last year we were fighting basically for this company, mm-hmm. for the lifeline of this company. Now they're fighting for their own kind of lives and their spiritual being. You know, and
that was running theme in this one, too.
And so obviously.
Well, again, they're all searching for something.
They're all searching for something because what they have is not enough.
Right.
Because ultimately, they're not enough in their own mind. So we see that in the internal being shown in the external.
Well, how great is it when he says, I drove the Jaguar, but I felt nothing. And Jones says, it's because you're happy, you don't need it.
Yeah.
And of course,
he's not.
No, not at all. And I'm surprised at her because she's so astute, John.
Yeah. But she also believes.
But is she off now, right now? Is her game off?
I think she's off, but I also think she just believes this. She wants to believe in that scenario, that fantasy. Oh, he found her. She's perfect.
But she's so razor sharp, you guys, about life.
Yeah, I know. But I think you said it. She's off, and she wants to believe rather than being in the reality of it. She at least have something out there because my life is crappy now because my husband's gone, divorcing me, etc. At least one thing. Have one thing work out. That's what I'm thinking she was going to.
Yeah, but I tend to think it's because she's got Don in a category. And she hasn't seen beyond that because remember she said, was it a couple episodes ago, that he always marries, you know, that, you know, she's going to be another actress, unemployed mm-hmm. actress, that's Don's type.
Right.
So she already kind of made it.
It's interesting, though, later in the conversation, a few more drinks go down and she says, you should have kept Megan in reception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think she thinks that is there's a certain woman that Don will marry. And Megan fits into that.
Sure.
So that's what I think is part of her perception that, mm-hmm. well, he should be happy because that's the sort of woman he always wants. He doesn't want beyond that, you know. So he wants a particular type of woman. That's mm-hmm. what I think when you're saying that she doesn't perceive that he's not happy. I think that she's got him in a kind of category and they're supposed to be happy because that sort of fits. They kind of fit.
Yeah. Wasn't it great to see him actually be a friend to her and not hit on her?
That was terrific. But there was still a lot of tension, a lot of sexual tension going on. That was great. But I love that scene. That was terrific. Mm. Those two scenes, I should say, in the bar, they were great. I was like, geez, now let's have more of these. They were wonderful.
Especially when he tipped his hat.
Oh, man, all of it. It was like, you know, you could see them. God, you know.
Well, that's when it became less sexual because she told him to take the hat off.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah.
And remember, it was supposed to be he and Megan going to Jaguar, and
then
those two end up. And it's like when you see them walk into the dealership, it says, you know, you say, geez, is this really the couple that's supposed to be together?
That's what I was saying. I'm thinking, you know, if things had been slightly different, this could have been.
You know what's weird? I mean, they've kind of been doing, they've been testing out Don with various women.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen him with Betty.
Yeah.
We've seen him with Megan.
Sure.
We've seen him now with Peggy a little bit.
Right.
Mm. That didn't quite work out in the pitch. These two were certainly great as playing with a couple.
How would that?
You know, four of us total.
What a power couple that would be. That would be interesting. Right. Very interesting. Love them in the bar. I mean, there was so much going on there. The whole.
And I thought, you know, you guys were talking about the friendship thing, with Don. And I thought the most astute thing that he said was, you know, people don't realize how hard divorce is, how. It's
at what
a good
point
thing.
You have to get to.
You know, that you can go through this. And you know what? It's actually good to just end it.
Yeah, and to move on.
Move on.
Of course. Yeah. And she, of course, doesn't think that she has anything to move on to because she has a kid.
Right. But
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Please.
Oh, yeah. She's divorced with a kid.
But we should also talk about the scene that she did with Roger as well. So,
oh, yeah.
Roger celebrating Pearl Harbor Day.
Yeah.
How fantastic.
I know. That was
wants to get in his red shirt. But, you know, his most interesting line, all the laughing aside, was the Japs didn't know what to do. They'd won, but they didn't know what to do.
Exactly.
And is that not the case of everyone in this? Exactly. They're winning, and they don't know what to do with it.
They don't have a strategy for success after they won.
After they've won.
Now what?
But I felt like he sort of was with Joan. He was sort of acknowledging their child for the. I mean,
yeah, that was a big
first time.
Yep.
Yeah,
clearly
it was
a big
huge,
moment.
Yeah,
very poignant to
and
say
poignant.
We made. And she paused for a second because it wasn't
the
usual
emotion,
shallow
like,
Roger. And now is that LSD? Is that from the LSD?
Well, he said I've had this event. He mentioned it. So and she said yeah. But she's not having anything of it. But I think that's part of it. I certainly think that's part of what he's doing. Because of that, he's acknowledging that, which is interesting.
And she doesn't want his money.
No.
In fact, he's been giving it to her, and she's been sending it back.
Yeah. So,
come on, Joan, really?
Well, is it more like she doesn't want his love at the end of the day? Because he basically, that's what he offered her.
Yeah.
To some extent. And she says, no, why don't you go be with the other women?
Yeah, the next lucky woman.
Well, I don't think she feels it's love.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah. She's probably saying, like, I feel like a whore taking the money.
Right,
like,
because she doesn't think Roger's changed. She doesn't think whatever event he's been through, the LSD, I don't think she thinks it's legit or real or going to cause any long-lasting change in him. I think she sees him for what he was. And that's how she's going to keep him.
And what was that? That was like a pretty catty line about, you know, you're lucky if you'll be a family friend to his child, you know, which is pretty sort of mean. Like, basically, I don't want you in his life at all.
Right.
Don't want your money. Don't want you in his life. Mm-hmm. Basically, I don't want anything to do with you in that regard, which.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow.
Well, brutal.
And then that was the line also that Roger said. Was it then when he said, yeah. But how many times have I seen you have flout from other men and I've walked he sort of said something about walking.
You've gotten cards from other men.
How many have I left
you? So there's that sort of that longing still that he obviously still has a lot of feelings for her.
Oh yeah.
But she's just not, she's just blocking.
You know what? It goes
out.
Back to that scene when at the award ceremony last season where she had to hold both their hands under the table. Mm. You know, both of them. They're both have some kind of feelings for her.
Yeah.
You know? That she's that special of a lady.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think Roger's feelings for her are legitimate, too. It's not just sexual or conquest or anything like that. I think he really, really likes her.
No.
So more than he wants to admit and certainly would admit.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We got to bring up Ali Khan.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Catherine can speak to this because she actually got it right.
So the line from Don was that...
I know my Hollywood history.
They're acknowledging that, you know, when he first started working there, Joan used to get flowers from... every day, or a lot of flowers, and he thought she was dating Ali Khan. Take it away.
And Ali Khan was married to a very beautiful bombshell, Rita Hayworth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was like Grace Kelly married royalty, you know, this was Rita Hayworth married Ali Khan. He's one of these gorgeous kind of, I think, kind of playboy, international playboy types, you know.
Royalty in Pakistan.
He eventually became representative for the UN.
Yeah.
So they're obviously a womanizer, and that was the reference.
Known for lavishing flowers and gifts on his female pursuits, shall we say.
So that was the compliment, basically, that Joan was good enough to a movie star, to get Ali Khan.
And as she said, my mother bred me to be admired. So that was a very...
Yes.
Wow.
How do you get bred to be admired?
I don't know. Or raised to be admired, I think is what you said. But even still.
I take that in a negative way.
Yeah.
Well, I think she took it in a negative way, too.
Like that the mother just...
You just
taught
object.
Her how to make people like you. Yes,
exactly.
That's right.
And Joan went so far the other way because of all of them, even though she's got the statuesque thing going on, she really has, you know, got her stuff together. She knows how to run a company. She can do, I mean, all these things, which have nothing to do with the way she looks or being admired for that.
Right.
So clearly wanted to rebel against that kind of upbringing. And it done marvelously well doing so. So.
Please, can we discuss Kinsey and Crane now?
Well, we still got a little bit.
Krishna, but
we got to go through the Don Megan thing.
Oh, my God,
that
you're
has
right,
to do
sorry.
With the Jaguar because...
Well, one last thing about this kid of Jones.
Yeah.
He's going to have a lot to look forward to, such as video games.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It's a great time ahead of him.
Not really. He's going to have like Atari. He's going to have like crappy.
He's going to be a little
Pong. Old. He's going to be playing Pong.
He's going to be like,
But his kids.
But his kids.
His kids are
going to
totally win. Yep.
His kids can look forward to Gamefly.com.
Got it.
Yep.
Which is, for those of you who don't know, it's the Netflix of video gaming. So if you're a kid and you like video games, or if you're a parent and hate spending so much money on video games for your kids, check out Gamefly. Now, the cool part is if you type in gamefly.com/AfterBuzzTV, you get a 15-day free subscription. And, you know, try it out, see how you like it. And if you like it, continue on. If you don't, cancel anytime. So that's gamefly.com/AfterBuzzTV. Over 80,000 games on PlayStation, Wii, Xbox. What a day we're living in.
Jeez, if all things go right with all these commercials, we might even be in the black this month.
Probably not.
Sorry. Okay. I was just throwing it out there, maybe. Okay. So Don and Megan here. This, you know, man, there was a lot going on there. First of all, so he takes Joan out because, you know, obviously she got served with divorce papers and she's, you know, throwing airplane models around the office. He's trying to calm her down. They do the whole Jag thing.
Too,
the
it's the plane. And, you know, and earlier on, the banker had said to Lane, I'm going to drive down to Florida.
I thought we were going to fly.
Yeah, I want to fly, but we're going to drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it ties to the cars and just everything. It's, you know, we know as filmmakers, you guys, it's really hard to tie all the stuff together in one film, let alone every week.
Yeah.
Rather genius.
And it was the whole thing about the open, and we're talking about the open road of America and everything. And also, you know, that's when we really started loving our cars, was after World War II in the 50s, late 50s, 60s.
Right.
So we really started loving the cars. So that's how that, so they're tying all that in as well. That's great. So, had things been different, Don would have slept with Joan, right?
Right.
And didn't.
No.
Which I thought was, well, that's, you know, kept it, I mean, very mature.
Is it,
like,
okay, is it because he respects her so much?
I think so.
Because because he's grown, or is he completely desensitized? What is it?
No, I think that's why that's why he kind of left, because I think I think he could almost see it heading that direction.
And normally he would have stayed,
but I think he was being the gentleman and said, it's time to go.
I think it's because he respects him, because I think he's trying to do things differently.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting.
You're right, and we know by the next scene.
Yeah.
When he addresses the troops.
Yeah. So we know that things are different. So anyway, he goes home, and of course, making the classic scene.
With the plain spaghetti, nothing on it.
Well, By the way, there's red all over the apartment. Again, that indication something's wrong, but yet no tomato sauce.
Exactly.
Well, you would have thought, that's why these guys are great, the obvious move would have been to put
the tomato,
and nope.
Yeah.
And so, and creating one of the easiest dishes
to clean up.
Boiled pasta, nothing on it.
Well, I thought maybe I saw a little flecks of parsley.
Maybe there was a subtle cream sauce that we just couldn't pick.
So she's been waiting up for him all night.
The modern housewife.
Yeah, exactly. And we just went through the whole thing about her. Exactly.
Minimal effort.
That's right. So just pasta, nothing else.
Nothing.
And not even, back then it wasn't even pasta, it was spaghetti.
Spaghetti,
it's not pasta, it's spaghetti.
Yeah.
So, and the big fight, and I just, you know... And of course, he takes it like she's trying to seduce him.
Right.
Because the last time we saw her angry is when, you know, she did it on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. She did that to get him all excited.
Now sit and eat with me.
Exactly.
But do you think she's also feeling, because she knew that he'd left at lunchtime. Now, I don't know if he called her to say she was leaving, but I thought that was interesting that she checked when he had left the office.
She's
starting to feel now less, not control, but she knew what was going on more in his life when she was
less
in the
secure,
office.
Certainly.
You know, now she's at home waiting for him to come home from work when they used to go home from work together.
Well, she also, you know, this is after their kind of mini fight about acting versus advertising.
Yeah. Exactly. Rampant consumerism and, if anybody has learned, what is it, hate advertising, or what did he say? You hate...
Because he's obviously not enjoying her world of theater. I think we should note that. I mean, his face through that whole production was like, you know, they're sitting in the seats.
Well, I'm with Don. I think he called it for what it was, just pretentious crap. And he was
this
like...
This was off-Broadway theater, Kevin.
Yeah. And he was saying
Probably off.
He's like, and that's okay. So he spelled out what the play was.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, it didn't take rocket scientists to create that or to figure it out. And he said, you know, and advertising, people buy things, it makes them happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was like, well, actually, no, the play was about rampant consumerism, which is speaking to her dad. That's her dad's storyline.
Right.
That's what he was talking about a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
So she's got that party line in her head as well. So we can see that. And the other thing I thought was interesting is that, you know, his line was, no one took a stronger stand against advertising than you.
Yeah.
So we saw it, you know, started this esoteric, you know, theoretical discussion about consumerism advertising, and then went right down to the personal rather quickly. So, because he's still pissed that she's left for this.
Right.
And that experimental theater, you could just see him hating that.
But, you know, for her, if she got as a struggling actress, something like that is fascinating to her, and she would have loved a role in anything at that level. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. Their worlds are just not meshing at all now.
Not at all. Because they're not even... What do they have to share?
No, and I think what she doesn't want is to be just one of Don's women, which is him drinking late at the office and doing God knows what.
Because she knows that.
Yeah, and I think that insecurity is now, because she knows his history. Now she's got more reason to suspect what's going on. But
she's not
keeping tabs
on him.
Nothing yet, but it's harder to keep tabs on him now. And when your husband starts coming home late drunk, you know, you're not going to be too happy.
But, you know, I mean, just going back to the Joan thing, you know, speaking of them as an awesome couple, right? Don and Megan were an awesome couple at work.
He was finally,
you know, right? He was always kind of going
things
to her.
Were clicking.
Like, oh, you know what? Fine, Megan.
Yeah,
Megan.
Yeah,
they were a great couple.
Yeah,
like,
we did. We did the pitch together.
Yeah.
We got the Heinz thing. Blah 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 bum. She, you know, when they were at the restaurant and she set him up so beautifully, everything's firing on all pistons, and then she walks away.
Yeah,
it's gonna make his life a lot easier now. It just makes it crap. At least at work, anyway. That's what I think.
But she inspired him to that point of he came in like a field general. He came in the next day to Jaguar and said, I wrote down the we're gonna take a leap forward, and we're gonna swim the English Channel and drown in champagne. So once again, there's that juxtaposition.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we're gonna drown in riches, which is not a good thing to be drowning, you know. But we're gonna swim the English Channel.
Yeah.
Which ties back to everything that's been going on.
But for me, it wasn't like the season one pitch from the carousel, like, you know, where things really slowed down and you took in every word.
Yeah,
this was okay. You said the words, but I didn't quite have the emotion.
You don't think it was the Mark Zuckerberg moment after in Social Network, or the character of Mark in Social Network after he saw the old girlfriend out and he came home and said, "We're going to do this and we're going to do that." I mean. They all applauded. They were all ready to work through Christmas.
Yeah, they all bought into it. But I think I like the point is that it wasn't up to his usual standards, but because it's been vacant for so long, the vacuum that was created by his absence, did you see how excited Pete was?
Yeah.
He was all giddy.
And I think to John, you've mentioned this a few times, but I think Kevin, you might have too. This is more about being away from home than about him loving the work.
Right.
And I that's what worries me.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big conflict.
He's putting new focus into work now because he doesn't want to be at home as much.
Exactly.
Now.
But so it's the lesser of two evils more so than happiness.
He spends all his holidays at work.
Okay. Is
also one last thing, guys.
Sure.
Is it to be away from work, or is it to make Megan love him? Because Megan said, is it to prove Megan wrong? Megan said, you're not into your work anymore because of me. Well, no, I am here. Look, I am into my work.
Well, it's interesting because let's go back. You know, he did the whole pitch with the, what was it, where he didn't take Ginsburg's stuff in, the devil, the snowball.
Snowball.
So he was making efforts there to do some work, but didn't like the competition or didn't like Ginsburg getting any kind of thing out of it. But it did well enough where they got the account. And, you know, he just hasn't found his footing. Because it's like he's doing the start, stop. I'm halfway in, I'm halfway out. You know, I go to the office on Saturday, but I really don't do anything.
Right.
Talk nonsense into a dictaphone.
But maybe Jaguar is going to be his focus. I think he's kind of...
Well,
something. That will be the thing that he's going
to
really
But
like.
As to why, I mean, I really don't know. That was the point for me.
I think it's kind of that classic case of something he was probably thinking that, you know, when someone articulates it, and she articulated it, well, you used to love your work, why you don't now? And I think it just made him think.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting the signal from the booth. We've got to move on to topic four.
Let's move on then.
We have to go to commercial, right?
I think we're done with commercial.
All right.
We've got to do our Crane Krishna thing. And then
I'm dying to talk about that.
Krishna.
So, so Crane. Yeah.
I can't get that song out.
Old friend.
Even Crane, you know, it opens with the old TV and it's just playing snow. And this ties to what's going on with Megan. You know, they were talking about TV and her little play.
Yeah.
And. We know, well, you know, how many people believe that the boob tube, it was the beginning, once again, the beginning of the end.
Mm-hmm.
And this, the whole talk between Crane and Lane, you hear about Bewitched, we hear about Star Trek,
which only lasted three seasons.
Right.
He's
like, if it's around one more year, which, of course, you know, it ended up making it 3 years. That was the first year.
Yeah,
so
it just made
but
three
then
years. Yeah.
Started the franchise.
Yes.
Right.
It's become a...
So very ironic because, you know, who knows if they're not indicating that Lane, that Kinsey's onto something down the road. But for the time being, of course, he's a Krishna. And remember, the Krishna movement, I remember in the early 70s was so big.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never see them anymore. Are they around anymore?
Oh, yeah, sure. Not as much.
Yeah.
You don't usually see them in airports as much as you used to, but
Yeah, but I think it sort of represented that whole kind of, we're at a crisis point in the mid-60s. People are kind of confused, and now they're looking for,
like
the Beatles the Beatles, the whole thing of, you know, let's find this Indian, you know, a spirituality outside of what we normally
not
do.
Not satisfied with the old answers or the answers that weren't provided by other religions. Like, you know, you have questions, and they say, don't ask. I mean, remember that, Kevin? I don't know if you got that when you were a kid, but when I grew up Catholic. If I had questions, you know, and I had questions that... Yeah. the priest didn't want me to know about or ask about, he would just say, don't ask.
Yeah, nope, because you're supposed to have faith.
That's fair faith, yeah, just shut up.
Yeah, but so, such a lovely time.
Exactly. So not that satisfied with that. Just like everybody else was restless, looking for more, looking for something different, looking for new answers. He's looking for something at the Krishnas.
Yeah.
So and Crane just goes there to see his friend, really. He doesn't really want
to.
Because
he has to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's been threatening to come by. Exactly. He needs to just meet for coffee.
Exactly. I don't want to meet for lunch. I'll do coffee. And then goes. And then as soon as he gets it, boy, I love the, I thought his buddy Kinsey did a great job as a Krishna. When he first started out, he was so happy.
He's actually a friend of ours. We know him, and John knows him. Beth Bears, who, you know, worked at AfterBuzz, but also starred in our film, Two Book Girls.
Yeah.
Geez, I don't even know I'm supposed to say that.
Nah, well, they know each other.
They know each other. They're friends. But anyway, he's a great guy, and he's a fantastic actor.
He's terrific.
It was nice to see him back. And, you know, do you notice him in the yellow?
Yeah.
And I felt like that was a tie to Cooper's line about, you know, Jaguars being lemons. They have a start. And, you know, poor Kinsey is a lemon.
Yeah,
you
he's
know?
A lemon. And clearly, he's a lemon at the advertising. He's a lemon at
he's
the
a lemon
Krishna,
at writing. He's a lemon at writing.
Exactly.
But, you know, it was funny. It the way that Don took the high road with Joan, it was nice to see, I think, Crane take the high road with him at the end.
You think it was a high road?
I mean, he didn't have to give him money. He didn't, you know.
I think he was just trying to get back at what that woman did.
Okay, no, this is interesting, though.
That's it.
So you thought he was trying to get back at the woman.
And because you're more intelligent than me, you're probably right.
No, I think he was so offended. No, I think he was just, I mean, Lakshmi. I mean, she showed her true colors, and the fact
that
she showed more than colors.
But also because she's just as manipulative. Because and the only reason she wants him in Hare Krishna is because remember she says
he's a great recruiter.
He's a great recruiter.
So that's bottom line. It's always about that. It wasn't about his spirituality. It was just he's a great recruiter. He's going to close. That's all she wanted him for. And I think she
agreed.
And that's what I think he saw through. He said, "I got to get my friend out of this."
Well, that's what I said. That's friendship. That's what I'm saying.
I think it was too.
That's being a good friend, saying, "Oh my God, this guy is screwed, and I've got to get him out." And for this character, who's kind of, you know, he just seems like he's existing the most out of all of them. For him to step up, $500 is a lot of money for
back
him.
Back then, absolutely.
Yeah. And for him to say, "And you have to leave now," because he knew she would talk. I thought that was taking the high ground. It seems like everyone else, so we don't talk over each other. It just seems everyone else on a show like this has all their ends and their goals, and everyone seems so Machiavellian. And for him to just do that out of friendship's sake reminded me of what happened between Joan and Don, too.
Yeah.
But I don't think, just going back to my first point, I think it was out of friendship, but I also think there was an ego thing there, is like he doesn't want her to beat him. Like this thing of like, you stay away from him. I still think it's kind of getting back at what.
Yeah, I thought that.
I
thought it was both. I thought it just so happened. I think he really wanted, you know, here's everybody talking about, look, if you're really a friend, tell him the truth. And he should have.
Peggy says that.
And even Lakshmi says that.
That's right.
Tell him the truth. It always works. And he doesn't tell him the truth, but he really did help because...
By saying the truth, it actually helps Lakshmi's point.
That's what I'm saying. He's looking at it, I didn't tell him the truth, but I probably did a better thing for him because being there the way he was and why he was there was not the right thing for him.
But is telling the truth such a good idea sometimes in that incident? Because that would have crushed him. He would have thought he had no ability. And let's face it, every person can be a critic.
That's right.
He might have had, believe he has any talent.
One script, it doesn't matter. I mean,
but if he thinks he does have some talent, he might keep writing. Yeah.
Well, doesn't Don say advertising is what? Giving people what they want, so he gave him what he wanted. Like, you're a great writer.
That's right.
You're amazing.
That's going to give him confidence. And okay, he might fail at it, but then he might have the confidence to keep going.
He'll fail in California away from these people who are doing him more damage in Crane's eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, not that I disagree because I don't, but that's why I was thinking, I think it would happen to be both. At the end there, when he said, here's the $500, but you can't talk to her because she'll just talk you out of blah, 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 blah. I think he just really, I like this guy, even though it didn't work out. And you know, he's talking to Peggy. Why didn't you hire Kinsey? I think he's a friend to him. I think he looks at Kinsey as a friend.
But do you think? Do you think he will take that money and go? Is that what you inferred from that, or is he going to go back to?
I think he. I think he will. I think because I think he the dream is he re- so. That dream is something that he really wants to follow. Mm.
I think he takes the money and goes, okay. And I don't think we see him anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe if we see him a season or two later, he's up to something in L.A.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
in some kind of irony. And I always get into the inside.
Yeah,
you know, generally when you see guys like that that are written off and brought back, it's because the producers really like them.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they really like him a lot. Yeah, and just conversely, when you see people, you yeah. don't see them again, it's Was because it? They're not liked.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought this is the first few scenes with him in the crowd. He was so happy to be there. I thought, God, this guy's, he's a convert for sure. Because he was just so happy. And then the next thing, oh man, I can't take it.
I thought, he was just in love with the girl.
Yeah, just in love with the girl. That was all he was
like, oh, that's bad. That's just bad for him.
But it's just interesting some of the lines. This seems like it's happening to someone else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, and that's kind of what everyone is going through.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I felt bad for him.
Yeah, poor Kinty.
Yeah. Well, I did because no matter what he does, it looks pretty bleak.
But, you know, writing-wise, I buy it because of what he was like earlier on in other seasons.
Okay.
You know, he had the black girlfriend. He was living down in, I forget the part of with all the beatniks. I mean, he was just always kind of searching.
Yeah. Well, they all are in this. So,
but before anyone.
Yeah.
You know, when everyone was, before anyone was into that, he was the one. Because remember, the beatniks preceded the hippies.
Clearly, yeah.
Now we're getting hippies, but this was, he was, so it's great character development and patience by Matt Weiner.
Anything you want to say about the scene in the office with Lakshmi and Crane? That was rather bold.
Oh my goodness. Well.
She really took one for the team.
Yeah, she did. And then I just love the way she just slapped him.
Well,
I know.
What did he say? To make the slap, that was what was interesting.
What was it?
She said, "This is all I have to barter with."
That's right. Mm-hmm. All I have to trade. Yeah, go ahead.
Trade, and he said, "Yeah, but you gave it away for free." Yeah, he gave it away, and then bang.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, it should have been like she should have made the deal. Then my end is I'll do this. Your end, you do that.
Yeah.
And I guess being a druggie and a prostitute, she's not a great deal maker.
Yeah. Probably not.
But
all right. Well, is there anything else we want to get to before we get to our break? Any other thoughts? Last minutes? Okay. All right.
Should we just do predictions? Just go right into
predicting.
Right. I mean, that's all we got left.
Yeah, I think we're running out of time. So we have Celeb Apprentice, I think, coming in now.
Okay.
I think so. Right.
Yes. Right. Nice little plug for our Celebrity Apprentice season finale.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
So if you're watching live, or if you're not watching live, hey, check it out. You might like it.
Predictions. I'm wondering if, and this is crazy, I wonder if Pearl Harbor Day isn't symbolic of something that's going to happen.
Wow.
At the end of the season.
Interesting.
I wonder if we're going to experience a Pearl Harbor at the end of this.
Well, I think...
at the end of the season.
In terms of what's happening, I think Lane's going to come to a head with something.
He's going to be found out.
Yeah.
He forged a check, for crying out loud. We forgot to talk about that. He forged a check. It's embezzlement. Yeah. Fraud or whatever. I can't remember. I don't know what legal term it is.
And it's so sad because he probably could have gone to one of the partners.
Just said, hey, listen, can I take it in advance? But no, the pride, the whole thing, the hubris.
And you should have just talked to Roger.
Probably
had his wallet.
Roger would have had some spare cash.
That's right.
Well, yeah.
Forged the check. You know that's going to come back. And it's Don's name. So...
Yeah.
Eesh, that's not looking good.
No, not so,
And you know, did they get the $50,000 advance? I even wonder that. Something tells me I don't even know. Like, I don't even know.
I think they did.
They're going to pay that back, right?
He's
making it out that they just got it, but they don't realize that they have to
That's
pay
true.
It back.
But that's what I'm saying. He's going to have to rob from somewhere else to pay that
and then
back.
They lost Mohawk.
Yeah, they lost Mohawk. So, and they're not even sure they're going to get Jaguar.
No.
Yeah, so they're in a very precarious...
So that's an iffy thing. Yeah, he's tenuous.
That poor man's got so many wrinkles from frowning his face of like, oh, Mohawk and all these things.
That's what I thought. I loved how, they'd say, okay, so we'll do bonuses. And then something happened. Okay, so the bonus... No, we need the bonuses.
I love that. My prediction is this is going to be the last season with Lane.
Yeah, he's going to have a stroke. The guy's going to have a heart attack or something.
I think this could be it. I think this could be the last
season. All right,
season
any other predictions? Well, last season for Lane. Okay.
You know, it's been the journey of Don becoming Don again, and I think him and Megan are going to clash heads. And
do you think he and Joan will get together?
No, I think something with Betty is going to be I'm not going to like it, but Betty's coming back into play somehow. I don't like it either.
I know, you know, very well could be. I don't know. I never know with the show because the endings are so cryptic.
Yeah.
It was like The Sopranos. You could never predict.
Yeah,
you
can't.
Why don't we just say a word and that'll be like the teaser like the Mad Men have.
Okay. You got a word?
Hey, John.
Thank you. Nice. It's Schadenfreude there. That's the word.
Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
Schadenfreude. Yeah, it really is.
All right. So, well, thank you very much for tuning in, everybody. We will certainly see you next week. So, on behalf of Mercer Movies in the booth, I got Phil's Feet Tech, Kevin Undergaro, Catherine Tulich, and this is John Comerford saying, we're out.
And until then, just keep laughing. That is what Bozo used to say.
Bozo would say?
Yeah, it's the end of his show.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.